Welcome to Local Outbreak on 100.1 The Planet, New Hampshire's Modern Rock. Matt Connerton from IPMNation.com sitting here at the Planet Studio. Tim Martin from Central NH Events is working the board again this week, so glad to have Tim on board. Check out his website, CentralNHEvents.com. And sitting here with a gentleman I met once a long time ago, so it's good to have him here, Sean McCarthy. How are you, Sean?
I'm great, Matt. Thanks so much for having me.
And I understand you have a brand new disc coming out soon?
I do. It's kind of a soft release. It's basically out. No big, you know, CD release party was really planned for it. It was more of an experiment I handed some creative control over, and You know, it's changed my style a little bit, but I think for the better.
Okay. Well, we'll come back in a second and talk about that. But why don't we play a track from the disc? What do you want to play?
Sure. I think the first one is probably the best one to get it off and running. This one's called Found Mary.
Oh, I like this one. Yep. Okay. This is Found Mary from Sean McCarthy here on Local Outbreak on 100.1 The Planet. Local Outbreak on 100.1 The Planet, New Hampshire's Modern Rock. Matt from IPMNation.com sitting here with Sean McCarthy. Sean, where are you living now?
I have a nice, quaint little place up in a secluded town in northern Vermont.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's everything you would think it would be.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, the calendar town. Picture the town in a calendar.
Yeah.
New England. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
You like living in a quiet place?
I do. It was kind of a decision when I was touring so much. It was a great place to it was a quite a drive back, but it was a great place to wake up, you know, after getting in at 5 a.m, wake up to nothing.
Now, how long have you been living up there? Because you used to be from New Hampshire, of course.
Yep. I've been up there now, I'd say 7 or 8 years.
Oh, okay.
But I was still touring quite a bit back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a while ago that we moved back up there, yeah.
Because I know you spent a lot of time in New Hampshire playing. Actually, when I met you, it was in Concord.
Yep, I remember. A little club. I do remember that.
Yeah, on
it's
Manchester
strange.
Street.
So either I was...
You were doing a solo acoustic thing that night.
Yep.
If I remember correctly, it was just you.
Yep, yeah. It was either I did one show and you were, you know, the only person I met, or you made a really good impression. I'm going to go with the second.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. And how long did you live in New Hampshire before moving to Vermont? Did you grow up here?
Oh, no. I actually grew up in northern Vermont, not where I live now. But
yeah.
I was in New Hampshire 5 or 6 years, I think.
Yeah.
And ironically, when I was in New Hampshire, I played other places. I was, you know, Rhode Island, New York, a lot of New England, but not a lot in New Hampshire.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of ironic. Yeah. I figure, okay, if I get out of here, maybe I'll get some shows here.
Yeah. Do you play more in New Hampshire now that you're not living in the state?
I'm not doing a lot of shows now, actually. With the record, I'm focusing. I changed focus on my music career a little bit. I took a pretty big hiatus and from playing. I still stayed in music.
Sure.
But I did some concert promotion and some things like that and wrote some stuff. I did some shows, but I really had to step back at the time when I was playing so heavily. And there was a time I was doing 250 shows a year.
That's a lot.
But that's a lot. You know, some people were like, really 250 shows a year, but everybody's day job, you're working 250 days a year.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And so it sounds kind of crazy, but,
you were doing that full time.
Yeah.
Right?
It was a full time thing. And, you know, the money got good. The money got the better the money got, the less shows I played, you know, to
sure.
balance things out. But it kind of felt like I was not so much in a rut, but I just kept doing these obligated dates, for lack of a better term. And I just kind of said, what am I doing? I had some, at the time, I hopped on with a manager who I thought was pretty good. And he got me in front of a ton of people. I mean, I did some opening spots with all kinds of great acts and
really
well-known acts. So that was good. I remember one time driving 3 hours to play 3 songs.
Yeah.
And I remember getting off stage and somebody saying, you got any more? And I did, but they wouldn't let me have any more.
Really?
But... You know, and at the time, you know, got a major sponsorship from a big beer company. Mm-hmm. I won't say their name now because they're not paying me anymore.
Right.
But things looked really good from the outside. But
sure.
Inside, I just wasn't getting my own stuff out there the way I wanted. I actually had released an EP back then and worked with Todd Bowie, who had worked with the Eagles. And
is that the July
yeah.
EP?
You know, there were some great people that worked on that. A small crew, but some people that had some real ties.
Yep. I still have a copy of that in my office.
Cool. Yeah. I don't. No, it's on iTunes. I know that.
Yeah.
But things looked like they were going really well. But for me, I think I had kind of tapped out.
Were you feeling burnt out from playing so much? That's a lot of traveling,
I was.
Obviously.
I remember doing some festival for another radio station. It was a big like Saturday afternoon thing. And before, I don't know if I got off stage or was on stage, and another band that was on, and the singer came up to me. He kind of beelined it right to me through the crowd outdoors. And I didn't know if he was coming, you know, to punch me in the face. Or, but he comes right up and he stops right in front of my face, and he looks at me and he says, I see your face everywhere. And at that moment, literally, I kind of walked away and I went, wow, you see my face everywhere, but what's happening with me?
Right.
Nothing. I mean, I was done. You know, you get to the top of what you're doing and it's time to make a change. And for me, I won't say that I kind of crept back into a hole. I just said, you know, this is it. So I really slammed on the brakes.
Sure.
And stopped and then did some other things, kept my foot in music. And it wasn't until just over a year ago when the producer of this record that I have out now, you know, gave me a call like just after New Year's a couple of years ago. He said, "Hey, I'm coming back east, and I'm going to do a homecoming show," because we had both grown up together in high school band thing. And he said, "I'm coming home, and I want to do a homecoming show. And would you learn a couple songs and play with me?" I'm like, "That'd be great." And he said, "Well, actually, what I really want to know is, will you learn all my songs? And we have two shows." So
yeah,
that was kind of, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but sure. That was the gist of it. And we hooked back up, and the thing about that was, and I'm sure we can talk about it in a little bit, but the producer has had some incredible success and has been in LA for 15 years. And
who is it?
Steve Bertrand. He's played with the Tories, Avion. He's had top 20 hit, top 40 hit. I mean, this, and the people he knows and has played with. He just, when we did those shows, back then, which was July 4th weekend, a couple years ago, at the end of the show, the second show, I remember him saying, "You know what? Come to LA. Let's make a record."
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Okay." Long story short, we finally got together the beginning of this year. I went out there, and he really rolled out the red carpet for me. I mean, I handed over creative control again. Not knowing what to expect.
Was that difficult for you?
It was ridiculously difficult. And really? Anybody who's ever stepped on a garage floor rehearsal room with me is listening, they'll know that's for me. For me to hand over control in any way is really unthinkable. I wouldn't say I'm a control freak. Apparently, I've been told I have a control issue. I don't play with that guy anymore.
care to mention his name?
He's a good friend of mine. Okay. But
I'm always looking for the dirt.
Oh, there's plenty of dirt out there, I'm sure. But it was the best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
To hand over control to somebody who was working with such great people and who'd had the experience. And Steve's a pretty humble guy in the respect that I'll say what a great producer he is. And he's going to probably, if he hears this, and when his response would probably be, no, there are some great producers out there. I'm good. And I'm going to be great,
sure.
And he's right. But he really is just a fantastic producer. He's not, because producers, I don't know. Even I didn't know really what a producer did until, a handful of years ago.
Sure.
And there are different levels of producers, just like there are different levels of talent or any business. It really requires that you be, I think, a great choreographer of the project. And just start to finish, he basically told me, send me everything you got, everything you have written. Well, I wasn't going to do that. Even though that's what he wanted. He wanted everything. Because if I didn't think it was going to be good, he might hear it and say, "I can make this really, really good." Mm-hmm. So basically, I sent him, a bunch of songs. And he said to me, "Okay, look, we can make a really good 10 or 12 song record. Or we can shoot for a great 5 or 6 song EP." And, understanding the business, that the goal was not to... the goal wasn't to put out 10 or 12 songs. The goal was to say, "Look, it's kind of different for me. So let's try this."
Sure.
"And let's see what form my music takes on." Because I've always been an acoustic, alternative, modern, contemporary. I mean, even in my cover shows, I did stuff that most people wouldn't touch.
Like what?
Well, people would play Alice in Chains stuff, but they wouldn't pick the stuff I would play.
Yeah,
they would
yeah.
play Dave Matthews, but it was always kind of a bland version. I can't even remember because I haven't done cover shows in so long.
but you would try to do things that weren't the obvious covers. Yeah, that's good.
If I was out and I'd see somebody playing a song, I was playing it, I usually cross it off my list.
Really?
Yeah. And not just because I'm like, I don't want to do it if somebody else is doing it.
Right.
Or if I'm going to do it, I'm going to blow this out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I think somebody said to me, they're like, why do you sound different when you play that song, when I hear somebody else play that song? And the only thing I think I could say is when I played, a solo acoustic show. I played like there was a full band behind me, even right. though there wasn't. And I was well aware of when I was playing like a guy with a guitar. And there was a total difference. When you feel like you have that energy of a band behind you and you play like that, mm-hmm. I think it comes through. And I think vocally and instrumentally, it comes through. And it's just a really high energy thing. And it allows you to play some of those things that other people might not tackle or and hopefully get some of those things across better. But again, that for me kind of dried up, and I wanted to focus on my own stuff. So this, you know, this new record got the acoustic out of it. It's so funny because if you listen to the record, you hear the acoustic.
Sure.
I think what stands out more though is, you know, great drums, power, power pop. I mean, I remember talking to my sister when this record came out. Everything was, you know, set. And I remember, I don't know if I called her or she called me, and I said, did the record's out? She's like, yeah, I know. I said, did you get it? It was out like at midnight last night. And she's like, yeah. And I heard some hesitation. I'm like, and she went, it's good. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And she said, well, you've always been a rock, raw artist. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, and this is more of a pop, rock, really polished you. And I'm not used to it. And I'm like, yes, success.
That's what you wanted.
Changed it.
Yeah.
We did it. And even the song we just heard, Found Mary. I liked that song when I wrote it. When Steve got his hands on it, Scott Simons was another person that he played keys on the record, mm-hmm. And he also helped with the arrangement or rearrangement. It's funny, the arrangements are I read a song and there's the arrangement. So really, it's right. rearranging of the
sure.
songs, what we did. And Steve and Scott, just a great team for that. But the arrangement changed, the instruments changed a little bit, and I went, wow, this is kind of a poppy kind of thing. And I wasn't a fan of the song.
Yeah.
And it's grown on me, and now I really like it, and it's also gotten some really good placements and licensing deals and things, so yeah, I like
excellent.
It more.
Excellent, good, so. Good. Well, why don't we play another track from the disc, and then when we come back, I want to talk about some of the other people that are on the disc, because you've got some heavy hitters on there who,
yeah.
some names I'm sure our listeners will recognize, but what do you want to play next from the EP?
You know what? Let's jump right to the next one. Pretty. You know, it's probably more of a mainstream pop kind of song.
Okay.
Originally, this was an acoustic song, and I'll say this. It had some great acoustic guitar work in it, and that all got chopped out of it. but it was rightly so. It came out great in the end.
Okay.
So this is Pretty.
All right, so this is Pretty from Sean McCarthy here on Local Outbreak on 100.1 The Planet.
You get so pretty every time I see you. How do you do that? What it must be like to be you. I'd like to be right where you're at. Could you do me a favor, please? Just keep that smile for me, and I'll save all of mine for you. Like we used to do. And did I fade so fast? When you only wish you would last.
100.1 The Planet's local outbreak with IPMNation.com.
Local outbreak on 100.1 The Planet, New Hampshire's Modern Rock. Matt from IPMNation.com sitting here at the studio with Sean McCartney. Blah, blah. Sean McCartney.
There is no relation, Matt. But thanks for trying. And if there's any money in it for me, you can say it all you want.
There is no money in it for you that I know of. But anyway, tell us about who else is on this album with you, or this EP, I should say.
Okay. Again, the producer, Steve Bertrand. He's had a ton of success.
Yeah.
He's been producing for a little while. He's produced a lot more things than I even knew. And he's doing more and more of that. He was in the Tories, and a band called Evian, and they had, a top 20 hit, 7 Days Without You. Great song. Mm-hmm. He's had, a few other really, really good songs out there, and worked with some incredible artists. And I'm really downplaying all he's done. And I don't mean to, but, drummer on this was Kenny Aronoff. Mm-hmm. And if you're a drummer, you know the name right off. If you're not a drummer, if you've listened to anything since, the 70s through anything any American Idol has done, you've heard Kenny play.
Sure.
He was John Mellencamp's drummer for 18 years.
Okay.
He was the guy behind Jack and Diane and, that whole record, every hit John Mellencamp's ever had.
Sure.
Played on.
He's on a ton of session work for all kinds of
people.
Yeah,
he's playing with, if there's somebody, he's playing with them. And I don't know now if he's just trying to really, really build up his resume. What a great drummer. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's played on, like I said, he's done everybody right through, some American Idol stuff, Kelly Clarkson and stuff. And even the live stuff. I mean, I know he was doing a ton of stuff with like John Fogerty, and I mean, they just call him up and he goes and he plays in Vegas or goes on tour with these guys. The guy is just a monster. It was funny. I have some, behind the scenes footage of when we were recording, and I was going to go in the live room when he was playing. It was just too freaking loud.
Really?
and I know, you say, well, drummers play loud. I mean, not like Kenny. I mean, that guy is just solid, solid, solid. It's interesting to meet people like that. And all they do, and it's so funny. Kenny's the type of guy, if you've ever been at someone's band practice or in your own band practice, when the lights are off, it's just like band practice. He's talking about, late nights and home life and this, and it's really cool. Just a genuinely cool guy, but such a huge talent.
Right.
The bass player that was on this was Chris Chaney. Chris was in Jane's Addiction.
Mm-hmm.
He was with Alanis Morissette. He's done a ton of session work as well. He and Kenny do a ton of session work together.
Oh, they do.
He's been called in from, tracks, everybody from Bon Jovi to, say he's done stuff with Celine Dion. I mean, this guy, I know, behind the scenes story. I know Sheryl Crow offered him a ton of money to play, and he's like, to go on tour.
Sure.
And he's like, nah, I'm gonna stay home with my kids.
Yeah.
I need more money than that. But that guy, just solid, solid, solid bass player. So good, and knows what to do. Actually, most recently, he's Slash's new record.
Mm-hmm.
He played all the bass tracks on that. So that's probably the most recent stuff he's had. And this whole record of mine has some people hear it and they go, wow, it's got a little Lifehouse thing going on to it. And I think the reason for that is Steve's producing in some way, but also Sean Wolstenholme played a bunch of the guitars on it. And Sean was in Lifehouse and The Calling. He does a bunch of session work as well. One of those things, I've played guitar all my life. But when someone like Sean comes in, you just kind of step back.
How much of the disc is him and how much of it is you?
It's definitely more him than me.
Really?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And rightly so. A really good flavor was put on it. You know, when you learn something, no matter what it is, you get your niche. I don't care if you're a writer. I don't care if you're whatever business you're in. You get good at it. But then when you see somebody else doing that same, and you may think, this is kind of how I'm always going to be. Can't teach an old dog new tricks kind of thing. I learned some styles and from watching Sean play on this record. He just has a fluency. Mm-hmm. And I believe, I remember reading something about him. I think he was like, kind of wanted to play baseball. And then he found out, wow, I'm kind of a good guitar player and people want to pay me for this. So I'll do that.
Yeah.
And last I knew, actually, I think he was leaving to play with Colin Hay from Men at Work. He was going on tour with that guy. You know, I mean, he's another great guy, another great artist. Scott Simons, that I had mentioned earlier, he played keyboard and piano on this, and something that's kind of rare in my music. I've rarely had any of that in my music, but a really nice addition. But not just that, but Scott writes with people who are writing hits, and he's becoming more and more sought out. For that, and the guy's just got a huge network of top-notch people. But at the same time, he's playing live. He's I know he lives in West Virginia, and he lives in L.A., kind of half and half.
Sure.
He's flying back and forth, and he does a ton of work on the plane. But his stuff is very modern. If you listen to just a Scott Simons record, it doesn't sound anything like mine at all.
Really?
He's a keyboard player, so it's more mainstream, and I don't want to classify it wrong, but it's got that electronic, really polished element, very good. But he, I know he and Steve have worked together for a while. But yeah, it's too bad. He gets kind of one of the last credits on the record for keyboard and piano, and then he's got a credit for arrangement, but he really did play a major role in how these songs turned out. Even before I got to LA to record them,
sure.
His work with Steve, certainly, formed the songs themselves. And Steve had brought in, he called me up and he's like, do you know who Jimbo Barton is? He says to me, and I'm like, the name's familiar. And he goes, well, I've known Jim for a while and I don't know, but we could really use somebody to work on these drum sounds. So cutting to who Jimbo Barton is, Jimbo Barton, won a Juno Award for producing, a Rush album.
Oh, really?
He produced, Queensryche's record. He has produced Eric Clapton. This guy, like, my only comparison is everybody talks, you know, Mutt Lang is huge in, you know, Bryan Adams, the Def Leppard, and everything else Mutt Lang has done.
Right.
I put Jimbo Barton right there on the other spectrum of those types of bands. I mean, you know, again, Rush and Queensryche, obviously not the same type of band, but Eric Clapton. This guy is just a kind of a god in the music production world. And
sure.
Steve nonchalantly is like, hey, we've been friends for like 11 years. And he's like, let me call him up. I'll call you right back. So I'm like, okay. So he calls me right back. He goes, hey, Jimbo's going to come in on Thursday before you get here and we'll get the drum sounds. I'm like, wow, so cool.
Yeah.
That's huge, because forget about what this guy must get paid to do this stuff. But I'm sure his schedule is way too busy to fit somebody like me in. And again, going back to Steve, huge favor. He certainly called in on his part. The coolest thing, I think, was day one. We recorded in Chris Cheney's studio. And that morning, Jimbo, I don't know if he was one of the first to show up, but he came in that morning, say for, you know, half of the session that day.
Sure.
Just to make sure things went great.
Yeah.
And, you know, the talent that he brought and the style. I mean, you know, engineering certainly is a style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I certainly learned a couple things from him that day. But he also has some really cool stories.
Really?
You know, you're talking to somebody who knows, you know, Grammy winning artists and has played. I mean, he's like a multi Grammy, you know, he's been nominated for so many Grammys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another one. And then, you know, in the end, and I hope I'm not missing anybody here, you know, another phone call toward the end of this thing when it was being mixed. You know, Steve calls up and he says, hey, you know, I'm going to see if I can get Tom Baker to master this. And I didn't know who Tom Baker was, but I was apparently a huge fan of his work. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody from Stevie Wonder to Alice in Chains. I mean, this guy was just one of the top mastering engineers there is.
Really?
And sure enough, Steve calls me back and he's like, yeah, they're going to master the record. I'm like, are you kidding?
Wow.
So literally just everything went off as far as I could see without a hitch.
Yeah.
Again, I know that Steve went above and beyond, and I know that he spent, you know, countless days and hours on this, aside from just the sessions themselves, which again goes back to the choreography that I think a producer really has to be in control of.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the players on this were just fantastic.
Yeah.
And they banged the thing out in such a ridiculous amount of time. And then with an end result.
Well, how quick was it?
We did drums and bass. And there was pre-production.
Sure.
So they had the general idea. And I know that Chris and Kenny had everything for about a week. They came in, and their styles are such that they chart things out so they don't miss a beat.
Oh, okay.
We figured we'd probably have a 10-hour session. They did the whole record in 3.5 hours.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I don't think they got it wrong. I think it was take one, and I'm like, I feel like these guys have been playing my stuff for a long time.
That's really cool.
And it was kind of like, okay, let's do another one. Let's do another one.
Right.
There were no wrong takes. There were just different takes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's play another track. What do you want to play from the disc?
Sure. You know, let's do Sunday Morning.
Okay.
This is on the July record. But nothing like this.
Oh, but
this.
A different version, obviously.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I heard, I don't want to get into how the whole pre-production thing works, but when I heard what Steve wanted to do with this, the other ones I was like, I don't know. I heard this, and I was just like, wow, home run. This is certainly my favorite.
Okay.
My favorite on EP.
All right, great. So this is Sunday Morning from Sean McCarthy on Local Outbreak on 100.1 The Planet.
Sitting quietly in the bedroom, wrapped in a blanket and these fears. Good intentions, consequences, building up all of these fences. Is anyone here? Is anyone here? Dreaming Sunday morning, it's nice to see you. Yes, it's raining over here. First it's cloudy, then it's clear. How can you be so far but still so near? It's nice to see you on this Sunday morning. It's nice to see you. Could you stay for a while? Got so much
Local Outbreak on 100.1 The Planet, New Hampshire's Modern Rock. Matt Connerton sitting here with Sean McCarthy at The Planet. Tell me, what was the biggest surprise for you making this disc? Because you've had a unique experience that most people don't have, you know, working with all these heavy hitters. And what was the most surprising about this whole thing?
Well, I still wonder if my surprise was, again, due to good control by Steve as a producer. And I mean, he pulled a lot of favors in on this. I know he did. He had to. He had to, because I certainly didn't have that kind of budget. But I think the biggest surprise I had was working with these people, and that they've played on Grammy-winning records. They have won, you know, Junos, Grammys, and they're also still doing it there.
Right.
And they took me, you know, some guy from New England, and treated me like I was anybody else. You know, it sounds like a very cliche statement, but, you know, I feel like once you meet these guys, or once I met these guys, next time I see them, they're gonna go, "Hey, Sean, how's the record?"
Yeah,
and it's great. And yeah, I know Sean, you know, and for somebody like Kenny Aronoff or Chris Chaney or any of these guys to say, "Yeah, I worked on that Sean McCarthy record." That to me is a surprise in itself, I think. But I guess getting back to the thing, the opportunity to go and do that and work with these people, I don't know if I realized it. I don't know if I realized what an opportunity it was. And yeah. I think, you know, you just mentioned it again, and some people have mentioned it. And I'm starting to realize that, yeah, it was one of those things that we all wanted to do as musicians. We all wanted to kind of get that break.
Right.
You know, what's a break in the music business? Is it getting a record deal? I'll be honest with you. I don't think so. After hearing some stories from those guys.
Right, right.
I think a record deal is going to be, major deal. I think I'm all set with after hearing those stories. So there's another surprise I think I brought out of this.
Sure.
Everybody that had a record deal is like, yeah, I'm all set with record deals. We don't want another one. We'll do our thing. You know, that was my break, I think. What I do with it is up to me, I
sure.
guess.
We should mention your website. It's SeanMcCarthy.com, correct?
Yep.
Can
yep.
you spell that for the spelling impaired?
S-E-A-N McCarthy, M-C-C-A-R-T-H-Y.
Okay. And, of course, I assume you're also on Facebook and
yeah,
all of that.
Yeah, yeah. The Twitter thing. I don't know. I don't like talking about myself very much. I don't like talking about other people very much. I fail miserably at Twitter, but I'll
get the same
better.
Way. Yeah. Well, Sean, thanks very much for being here. Congratulations on the EP. That's
thanks.
Really, really cool. And it sounds great. And it should with the caliber of the people you got to work with. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm real happy with it, and I can't thank those guys enough.
That's a great experience. Yeah, very cool. And I do want to remind everyone, if you enjoyed the interview tonight and you want to be able to stream it and download it and keep it forever, go to ipmnation.com/localoutbreak immediately after tonight's show, and it will be available there. And I want to remind everyone, too, stick around after Local Outbreak is Out of the Box with Amber Cool here on The Planet. And, Sean, what do you want to play to wrap up the show?
Let's wrap it up with goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, yeah. How appropriate.
Sure.
All right. Thanks again, Tim from CentralNHEvents.com for working the board for us. And this is goodbye from Sean McCarthy here on Local Outbreak on 100.1 The Planet.
Did you say something under your breath? Were you talking to me, dear? 'Cause I'm pretty sure you'll hear me laughing as I walk right out of here. Oh, oh yeah. This is your shirt, you probably want it. You should take all you can get. By the way, I don't know what's on it. It was right there when we met. This is me. yeah. This is me kissing you goodbye with a smile upon my face. This is your time signing off to a brand new place. This is your world crashing down. I need a little space. This is me with a smile upon my face. Could you say something?
.1 The Planet's Local Outbreak with IPMNation.com.
The Planet's Local Outbreak is recorded weekly at the studios of 100.1 The Planet. It's engineered by Tim Martin of CentralNHEvents.com. Matt Connerton of IPMNation.com is the host of The Planet's Local Outbreak. The show is produced and edited by Annie Biello of 100.1 The Planet. For artist links and details about The Planet's Local Outbreak, log on to the Planet's Entertain Me page, WPNHFM.com. The Planet's Local Outbreak is available for download anytime online, IPMNation.com/local outbreak. The Planet's Local Outbreak is a product of 100.1 The Planet and Northeast Communications.